This show proudly sponsored by Real American Freestyle Wrestling. Recently, a close friend of mine experienced an unexpected loss. Watching their family struggle emotionally and financially made me stop and think seriously about my own family's future. As the primary provider, I know how important it is to make sure that if anything ever happened to me, my family would still be able to manage. So I realized that without life insurance, my family would be left with overwhelming financial burdens. I looked into coverage before, but the process always felt complicated, got endless forms, phone calls, and medical exams, made everything take weeks. So that's why Ethos stood out to me. Their process is simple and 100% online. There's no medical exam required, just a few health questions, and you get a quote in as little as 10 minutes. In many cases, you can even receive same-day coverage without ever leaving your house. Ethos offers up to $3 million in coverage, with some policies starting as low as $2 a day, billed monthly. It's a trustworthy company that's changing the way people think about life insurance. So protect your family's financial future with life insurance from Ethos. Get your free quote at ethos.com/Brian. That's ethos.com/Brian. Application times may vary. Rates may vary.
We all love a legendary comeback, and Degree Original Cool Rush is back and better than ever. Cool Rush isn't just a scent, it's a movement, a fan favorite that delivers bold, fresh vibes and all-day sweat protection. Whether you have a man that spends hours in the gym, heads into the office early, or is just trying to stay fresh on a long day, Cool Rush has their back. Head to your local Walmart or Target and grab Degree Cool Rush, the fan favorite scent from the world's number one antiperspirant brand.
So we're back in studio with the great John O'Hurley, actor, author, comedian, game show host. And now he's going to focus on many jobs. Host of the National Dog Show, you know. It's a Thanksgiving Day tradition that airs on NBC right after the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. It's the 23rd annual dog show. How many have you done, John?
24th, actually. Yeah, this is our 24th year.
Your 24th year.
I've been there ever since the beginning.
Wow. And how has it grown?
Exponentially. We had the first year that we did the show back in 2002, we have, to everybody's surprise, we did about 19 million people. Today, we're up around 30 million. And every year it grows and grows and grows and grows. So as the rest of television is trying to find an audience, ours just, all you have to do is put the cameras on the puppy's eyes and that's it.
How do you explain it? How do you explain the growth in popularity?
I cannot for the life of
me. It's not like the dogs are new.
No, it isn't. But it's just that I think people, whether you're 4 or you're 94, there's something there for you. And everybody can sit down and watch, and it's something everybody agrees on. It's not as regional as football would be. And I think it just satisfies an audience that's yearning for something gentle and universal.
Well, and you love doing it.
Oh, I love doing it. It's just so much fun. I mean, it's there's 2,000 dogs. There are 2,000 of the top dogs in the country. They've all been champions at one point during the year. So you're seeing the best of the best. It really is so enjoyable. And it's the last bench show, which means that all of the dogs have to remain during the show with the owners and the handlers and what have you. So it's a very educational experience.
Have you met with any of these dogs yet?
Oh, sure. I interview them all the time. And right. You know what? Not one answers me back.
It's so weird. What about the owners?
They are exactly as you would think. This is their life. And if you go out into the parking lot out there, you'll see hundreds of these full bus RVs out there, and this is their life. They go from show to show to show to show, and they see everybody. They know everybody backstage. The dogs all know each other. It's a wonderful community.
Wait a second. The dogs all know each other?
Oh, sure. They all sniff around up there. That's what they do.
I
will tell you something, and I want you to understand this, and I'm telling you something that only the experts realize. The dogs don't care who wins.
Are you sure?
I'm sure. I'm absolutely sure. I've looked at these. Now, this is 24 years of experience that brought me to this point.
They don't know that they won.
No, there is an adrenaline rush, I will say. The dogs, as they enter the ring, it's like all of a sudden everybody's applauding and they respond
feel
to that. Yeah, they respond to that. Yeah.
So you have 1,800 of the nation's top dogs spanning over 190 breeds. What I'm amazed at, are we still coming up with breeds?
We are every year. This year we have the Swedish-Danish farm dog. I don't know how they...
right.
I don't know how they came up with that name, but I'm guessing it's from Sweden and from Denmark.
And so, in other words, it's a mutt.
It would look like a generic dog until you realize the darn thing was bred for just about anything you can do on a farm. And they have they're small dogs, but they have a heart of a Sherman tank. You can't stop them from, if they have a mindset to do something, they do it. And they're bred to be hunters, herders, ratters. Remember the halcyon days of ratting?
Right.
Yeah, we don't do that much anymore.
We used to have dogs eat rats?
That's what the terriers are for. the terriers go down the hole to grab the vermin.
Because there is a breed called the rat terrier.
The rat terrier, yeah.
And
yeah.
That's really what it's for?
That's what it's for. But also all the other terriers are for that, too. And that's why I have the little stubby tails. You pull them out of the hole by the tail.
Wow. I did not know all this, but you do have to know what you're doing.
Well, over a period of time, you learn a lot. I've been very lucky to have David Fry, the most knowledgeable man in the world of dogs, at my side. So all I have to do is defer to him if I don't.
Madison Square Garden.
No. We're the Kennel Club of Philadelphia. So we shoot the show at the Greater Philly Expo Center out in.
Did you used to do at the Garden?
No. No, that was Westminster that was there, and then they've been kind of jumping around trying to find a home.
Right, because they don't have it.
They don't have it. We have it. As I say, we've got 30 million people that watch us, so it's we're in good shape.
So you're out in L.A.?
Yeah, I live out in L.A., in Lollaville.
I was just talking to Gary Sinise. He moved out to Tennessee. You talk to these comedians there moving out.
Yeah.
I lived there for a while. It's always been the goal with so many people to get out to L.A. It's exciting.
It is. Yeah.
You're still there.
I'm still there, and I'm reluctantly there. And we are most of it was the fact that we had our son in school out there.
Yeah.
He's now at Baylor in aviation and in his freshman year. So we now are scratching our heads going, there's got to be somewhere else.
But you know your neighbors. You love the climate.
We kind of mildly know our neighbors, and that's one of the reasons out there. You know, Californians, we lived on a street in Beverly Hills and Jack Black was my next door neighbor, and darn if I ever saw him.
Really?
Yeah, we lived on the same street, probably exchanged the same mail that was erroneously delivered, but that was the only time I ever saw him.
So you don't have that sense of community over
it? Not at all. I mean, I would love to, but it's not that we're against it, but you just don't out there.
There's a documentary out now about how slow the rebuild's been since the Pacific Palisades.
Absolutely.
And this is the rich of the rich.
Inexcusably awful. Yes, it is. Well, a lot of the problems have been that they won't grandfather, and they will no longer grandfather the sewer systems in. A lot of those homes out in Malibu and Palisades had old grandfathered in sewer systems, that won't happen anymore. So you're spending $3 million before you even get to the surface.
And do you think a lot of people are walking away?
They're going to have to. Yeah, there's just no way that they can rebuild with the insurance money that they're being given, if they're being given at all. Remember, 1,200 policies were canceled about a month before.
Because the insurance thing doesn't balance out for the companies.
No, it doesn't. And you don't know how this little circle is going to end.
And the thing is, too, it's about the free market. We have this mayor-elect that thinks socialism is the answer. Mm. When you cap things, people will take action. If you're going to cap how much rent they're going to have, I'm going to keep that apartment empty.
Exactly.
We have hundreds of thousands of apartments empty here. So if you're going to cap how much insurance companies can charge, they're going to go, okay, I won't do business here. Not that they're being mean. Oh, I imagine insurance companies are in it. A lot of them publicly traded.
Yep.
I have to make a profit. How do I make sense of that?
Yeah, it's not possible.
I have employees.
Yeah. It's not possible, and it's a conundrum that's going to have to be fixed, because you can't have that type of land sitting out there overlooking the ocean and not doing something with it.
So here's the thing that I find so interesting, because I remember I lost everything. I was in Malibu, living in the bottom of a house, burned to the ground, lost everything. But the good news is I had a little.
I remember that. Yeah.
And then you had Sandy. We had 3 feet of water. Most of my neighborhood was just flooted. So I know what it's like. Some people have money, doesn't have money. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. When you get flooded, fires, whatever, you're pretty much at ground zero, depending on how you prepared. But my thing is, when you have this many powerful people frustrated, even if they have the resources, they can't build because they got to get employees and permits. Then I'm wondering, is that going to get through to their heads that this isn't a Republican or Democrat thing, that this is not helping people?
Exactly. That's all I can say to it is exactly.
Yeah, I don't want to get you in trouble.
No. Yeah. It's not a question of getting in trouble. It's a question of absolutely agreeing with you. We are... It is a conundrum out there. The slowness of the permits that they said were never going to happen. Well, there's only half a dozen permits been issued.
Mm-hmm. So when you talk about things being shot in L.A., do you no longer have to – if in your business, do you no longer have to be there? Because there's so much outside
I'm coming to the point where I really am realizing I don't need to be. A lot of the work that I do is voice work. A lot of it I can fly in for. I did 5 movies this year. I didn't do a single one of them in Los Angeles.
Really?
Yeah. Not a single one of them in Los
Angeles. Can I ask you where you are?
All over. I was down in Atlanta, in Tennessee. Then I was in New York City. And then a couple of others that don't remember where I was. But it's not there.
It would also, do you think that even though the whole wokeness really started in L.A. when everyone wanted to be politically correct, but I think that they were one of the first to pay the price when you can't get a key grip and let's say they're a half Cuban with who are gender confused with a limp.
So it is, and it's also the Academy Awards demand now that you check all these boxes or you cannot be nominated for an Academy Award. It's absolutely silly.
But do you find that people become less political when they realize how it's hurting their occupation?
Yes and no. There still is people willing to walk into walls out there to protect the diversity. And I just don't get it. I don't get it. But I will say that as a white man at my age, it's difficult to work out there. There's no question about it.
And much more difficult than when you broke in.
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely. It's like night and day. It's like night and day.
So the whole meritocracy that was so much a part of acting and performing and singing and the meritocracy, I think in many ways, acting is fundamentally that if you're good, I don't care who you know. Mm-hmm. And if you know everybody and you're not good, unless the Scorsese thing and his kid was a different story. But it's really about performance and execution, and you're saying they've lost that.
Yeah, it has been. A lot of this has been funneled into making sure that we're checking boxes rather than putting the best people on stage for their talent.
Wow. Every day, America's first responders stand ready. Firefighters, law enforcement, paramedics, doctors, dispatchers, and people who put themselves on the line for public safety. But keeping them connected in moments of crisis has not been easy. That's why Congress authorized a nationwide network for public safety. Today, that promise is fulfilled through FirstNet. It's the only nationwide network built with and for first responders. So whether it's a big city, rural town, or remote tribal community, FirstNet helps ensure no call for help goes unanswered. It gives first responders priority access, never throttles their communications in the U.S., helping them to connect across agencies when it matters most. This isn't just a network. It's a lifeline, a bipartisan commitment to America's public safety, built to serve those who serve us all. FirstNet is the backbone of our nation's emergency response and will continue to be in the future. FirstNet, built with AT&T. Learn more on firstnet.com/public safety first.
It's Will Kane Country. Watch it live at noon Eastern, Monday through Thursday at foxnews.com or on the Fox News YouTube channel. And don't miss the show. Listen and follow the podcast 5 days a week at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
When you go to airports, most people think Peterman.
Absolutely.
Are you okay with that?
Oh, no, absolutely. Listen, the day that I complain about somebody recognizing me as Jay Peterman is the day the music dies.
Right.
It was one of the great, most enjoyable things I ever had the privilege of doing and the greatest cast that I ever could have been partnered up with. We have a new audience today because courtesy of Netflix, they bought the series and now we have binge watching 14 to 20 year olds watching the show for the first time.
How many have you seen?
Oh, I've seen them all. I've seen them all, but I didn't watch it first run. I would not watch it because I was so frustrated by the way the show was edited. And they would always have these long, monotonous Peterman monologues in every show that he would go out there, take a right hand turn and never come back. And I enjoyed those so much, but then, you watch the show and it's not there because the show was too long. So we always had to trim the Peterman monologue that was the first to go. Very frustrating.
How do you handle that?
I just realize that you're blessed to be working there and have the best time you can and just try to remember.
But that is
I remember all the monologues. Let me put it that way. So 30 years later.
What is your technique for memorizing stuff like that?
I start with the verbs. You start with the verbs and then go to the subject. Look for the activity that each sentence is expressing, and then look for the who's doing it.
And then do people at that level, I know writers are particular, but so you got the monologue, you got it, you go to read it, you think I'd rather say it this way. And you don't check with it, but you just do it your way.
Yeah.
Do you find people, even though you write it, do it again?
It depends. Now, Seinfeld was the type of thing.
That's what I mean, Seinfeld.
Seinfeld was the type of show that if you could think of a funnier way to do it, try it. Right. If it works, it's in the script. Nobody has any ego about, you're killing my line.
Curb Your Enthusiasm, famously, they say they ad-lib a lot of it. Like they go in there and they
You can tell that that's all just stream of consciousness. And it's here's what we want to accomplish in the scene. And they're bullet points. And so that's what they
do. Did you do that at Seinfeld?
No. Seinfeld was tightly scripted. But you had the entire week of rehearsals to arrive at the point where you could have it tightly scripted. Comedy is better when it's tightly scripted because there's a flow to the line. Elaine, do you have any idea what happens to a butter-based frosting after 6 decades in a poorly ventilated British basement? I have a feeling what you are about to go through will be punishment enough. But you see, there's a cadence to it.
Your cadence. Especially.
Well, it is. It's my cadence, but it's but there's. That only works if it's tightly scripted.
Do you think that there'll be a comeback for the sitcom?
For the sitcom, yes. For Seinfeld, no.
No, oh, I know that. Yeah,
we were selfish 30-year-olds. I don't think selfish 60-year-olds makes a great fodder for comedy.
I just thought that was so interesting, and I think I might have brought this up to you before. I remember like Cheers and Taxi. They would have characters that you like, mm-hmm. flawed but liked. Mm-hmm. Seinfeld made it clear, and I've never met him. But Simon and Clifford, I don't want you to like these guys.
Mm-hmm. We were not nice people and would sell each other out in a second if the opportunity struck.
Right. Yeah. So how do you explain it? It's just funny's funny? Is that it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because you
liked
it.
Here was the thing. I remember getting up out of my chair after the first read-through of Peterman introducing himself to the show. And I called my manager and I said, this is the number one show on television. It's not funny. And he said, just be.
Had you seen it before?
No, I hadn't seen the show before. And because I had my own series that was busy being canceled on ABC the day before. So I just hopped over to Seinfeld. But
same line.
It isn't the same. The thing that is peculiar about Seinfeld is you have to play it as a drama. It's got to be Streetcar Named Desire. You have to have that kind of ferocity and that type of commitment to the passion of what's being done in the scene, or it's not funny. So the more passionately you do the scene, and you look at George Costanza, I mean, there could not have been a more tour de force, passionate actor than Jason Alexander. But he made that show because he was passionate about what George was – his dilemma.
Is that acting, period? Because I've only taken a handful of acting. Is that what acting is, really?
If you look at Golden Girls or something, they didn't have to suffer that type of thing. They could just set the joke up and deliver the punchline. But Seinfeld didn't have punchlines. We weren't a joke funny show. It was a situation that was funny. And the more passionately you play that situation, then it becomes funny.
And Jerry would be the first one to say, I'm the least experienced actor.
Absolutely. And it was like, just get my lines out of the way and then just, you know, allow him to smile through the scene.
Oh.
Yeah.
I forgot the sitcom that just came out and said they looked at Seinfeld, the way they held the phones from the 1990s. Mm-hmm. Remember they had the antennas?
Yeah.
And they said they went out of their way not to show any technology mm-hmm. because they never wanted to date it. Not that it's hurt it in syndication.
It sure hasn't. And the only other thing that would date it would be the models of the cars. Jerry's Saab, I think, or an Audi or a Saab. Saab, I think, is what he had. But right. Yeah, that was that's the only thing that dated it. I think Kramer was the first one down in Greenwich Village to use a cell phone. And I think it was the only time.
John O'Hurley, I cannot wait to catch what I thought was the 23rd, but it's the 24th.
24th?
The 24th annual National Dog Show on Thursday, November 17th.
Dogs until 2?
27th, I should say. Mm-hmm. From 12 to 2. Right after the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. And that'll be on CBS, on NBC.
Yeah, we're going to move it over to NBC now.
You don't mind? Yeah, you know, it makes sense. John, thanks so much.
Hey, it's always great to be with you, Brian.
Right?
Enjoy.
And maybe you should. I would recommend New York because it would be near me, but it wouldn't do it for the quality of life of your family.
I do understand.
Understand?
I do understand.
Back in a moment.
This is Ainsley Earhart. Thank you for joining me for the 52-episode podcast series, The Life of Jesus.
A listening experience that will provide hope, comfort, and understanding of the greatest story ever told. Listen and follow starting November 30th on Fox News Podcasts.com.